All right, well, I'm very pleased to be speaking with Bob Doppelt, the Executive Director of the Resource Innovation Group, about his involvement with the National Climate Ethics Campaign and their statement of our nation's moral responsibility to address climate change that they're releasing this week. So welcome, Bob.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
And so tell me a little bit about the National Climate Ethics Campaign. How has that come about?
Well, it's a campaign that we put together about a year ago with 27 other organizations that represent different kinds of issues and constituencies from all over the nation that felt that the constant focus on the questions about whether it costs too much to reduce emissions to address climate change and the focus on scientific uncertainty was an inadequate response to the risks posed by climate change, that this group felt like no matter how high the costs are, we have an obligation, a moral obligation, to prevent harm to others and to the climate and to the natural environment from climate change, so that we felt we had a moral obligation to address this issue and needed to move beyond those two false ways of framing the issue.
So, yeah, tell me a little bit about the statement that you're releasing this week and why you think that this can be so significant.
Well, first of all, it was a statement that was written through consensus with all the 27 members of the steering committee. So it's something that represents a broad-based consensus from across all sorts of different constituencies of America. It focuses on three dominant moral principles that have long guided our nation. In fact, these are the moral principles that have really made our nation great and have separated us from other nations and really made us a unique country. The first is that we have a moral obligation to prevent unjustifiable suffering and death. Our national laws are really based on this moral principle that it's not feasible or not allowable to harm somebody else. The U.S. is the largest overall contributor to climate change over the last 100 years in terms of the emissions we've released. And we still today are the second largest emitter in the world after China. The energy that we used to grow our economy that generated those emissions over the past 100 years did quite a bit of good. But today, those emissions are causing unjustifiable suffering and death, and this is morally wrong, and we need to change that. So that's the first principle. The second principle is to honor the principles of justice and equity. It is the poor, the infirm, the elderly, children, women, communities of color, and Native Americans, including Native Alaskans and Native Americans in this country or indigenous populations, that are the most impacted by climate change, but they have contributed the least to this problem. So that also we feel is unjust and a moral wrong that we really need to right. And finally, the third principle is the moral obligation to protect the natural environment that is the source of all life. It provides the food we eat, the water we drink, and the air we breathe, and climate change is clearly affecting the natural ecosystems. It's exterminating species and undermining our economy. So we have a moral obligation to protect the natural environment in order to protect ourselves. So those are the three moral principles that the group felt were the most important, and as I said, indeed, they are the moral principles that our country was founded on and that made us great.
Now, it's a tough climate right now with the economy, just in obviously several years where we've been in this downturn. How has this statement so far been received, and how can you get this through public consciousness that there is a moral obligation to act?
Well, first of all, the reception has been outstanding so far. We just started gathering signatures on the statement in late June, and these are from national leaders of various organizations, professors and others, and we now have over 1,200 signatures. That's a tremendous amount of signatures to have on a statement like this, and that will be released tomorrow in the Senate, in Congress. But also, we are going to hold an event tomorrow in the Senate Environment and Public Works Hearing Room. And Congressman Henry Waxman from California and Senator Barbara Boxer, who is the chair of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee, will both be speaking at the event, along with 9 representatives of our steering committee that represent different types of constituencies and different issues. The fact that those two elected officials, Congressman Waxman and Senator Boxer, who are the leaders, I think, on climate issues and often the leaders on our environmental issues in the nation, the fact that they've agreed to speak and want to speak suggests that this is going to be very well received. Let me just say that those 3 moral principles that I've described really require us, and this is what the statement also says, requires us to dramatically and rapidly reduce our greenhouse gas emissions in our homes, in our places of work, and within all levels of government. The second requirement is that we begin to prepare for climate change, because there are now some impacts that simply cannot be prevented. And third, we are asking for every individual to demand that their government adopt policies to achieve both of those ends, to reduce emissions and prepare for climate change. So that's what we're asking, and so far the response has been overwhelmingly positive.
And is there much evidence, or has it been tried, using climate ethics as a way to get people mobilized? Is there any evidence that this is something that will get people going on it?
Well, no, it hasn't been done yet in this country, which is why we decided to do it. But when you look at every major social movement of the past 100 to 200 years, actually, from women's suffrage to civil rights and onward, they all at their basis had a moral argument that drove and motivated people to act. They did not use scientific arguments, job creation arguments, or political arguments per se to make their case, because the wrongs they were trying to right were in fact moral wrongs, just as our release of greenhouse gas emissions without considering the impacts on other people, on future generations, and on the natural environment is a moral wrong. And we think we've just been missing the boat because it was an environmental issue, and environmentalists tend to think in terms of science and technologies and economics, when in fact what motivates people most is when you tap into their most deeply held values and their moral beliefs. And that's what we intend to do.
That sounds good. And so, and just describe a little bit about who is part of your coalition beyond the elected officials.
Well, the coalition, the 27-person steering committee, includes environmental groups like the National Wildlife Federation and the National Sierra Club, social and climate justice groups like the NAACP. It includes labor groups and the Labor Network for Sustainability. It includes business organizations. Business for Social Responsibility is a member. There are individual businesses that are involved. Progressive Portfolio 21 Management, Leslie Christian, is involved. The faith community is involved, a number of different people representing different faith organizations. So there's a wide diversity. The Republicans for Environmental Protection are part of it. This, I want to also say that this is a nonpartisan effort. Climate change has become a partisan issue, but in fact, it's no more partisan than cancer. Everybody can be affected, and everyone will benefit from solutions. And so we've tried to make this a nonpartisan issue with a very, very diverse group of people involved.
Yeah, it seems like particularly the faith-based communities is a great place. It seems like potential for reaching different audiences.
Absolutely, and in fact, they've actually been the ones that have gathered the most signature. But it's not a faith-based focus. When we use the word morality, people think it's always about religion. It's not. We had a very explicit discussions about that with the steering committee. Statement addresses beliefs in God or higher spirits, but it is not a religious-oriented statement, and we wanted to do that on purpose because we were trying to attract all Americans, not just one type of constituency.
Yeah, no, that's good to clarify. So what's the plan after the release of this statement?
Well, the release of the statement is actually the beginning of the campaign, not the end, even though it's taken us a number of months to get to this point. This is the start of a 2- and 3-year effort to make the case across the country and to continue to repeat the message that climate change is a profoundly moral issue that requires a profoundly moral response. And we'll do that by launching a series of community-based and organizational-based climate ethics campaigns. So we're going to help people that are interested from around the country start climate ethics campaigns in their communities to make the case for reducing emissions and preparing for climate change and adopting policies to achieve both of those goals in their communities. When people endorse the statement on the climate ethics campaign website, there's a little box that they check if they want information about how to launch a community-based climate ethics campaign on their own. And about 3/4 of the signers check that box. So there's a great deal of interest in those campaigns, and that's what we're going to focus on next.
All right, that sounds great. Well, thanks for taking the time today, Bob, and good luck with the release tomorrow.
We'll let you know how it goes.